The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Time again, young people are told to stop buying cups of coffee or avocado sourdough if they ever want to own a home. But how realistic is this advice? And would cutting back on some so-called luxuries really help? Well, to discuss this, Leah McMahon is a senior financial planner with Castle Capital, and she joins me now. Leah, you're very welcome to the programme. I have to say, I have a bit of a problem with this conversation around cut out your avocado toast or cut out your Americano, because you know what? You can cut out an Americano every single day from now for the next 5 years, and it's highly unlikely you're going to save up what it takes to put a deposit on a house here in Ireland. However, there is some merit, isn't there, in cutting out some of the discretionary spending?
Yeah, like I think from the, you know, from the get-go, I suppose telling young people that, you know, if they just cut out their coffee and, you know, saved that or invest that over a period of time, you know, that would work out to be a house deposit. Like when you look at, like, especially kind of the Americano, you know, your standard Americano is probably, you know, maybe average €4. So if you look at, you know, if you were to have a cup of coffee a day, it's €28 a week. You know, the, I think it came out in the CSO at the start of January that the median kind of asking price for a house was about 445,000. So if you were to cut out your Americano, that €4 a day, it would take you 19 years if you were to look at it over a 5% net growth rate. So it would take 19 years to save up that 45 grand to put that 10% down. So I don't agree with this whole idea of, you know, cut out the Americano. Where I see merit is where, you know, someone buys three coffees a day, they eat their lunch out, they don't cook at home, you know, and all of a sudden they're spending, you know, maybe €500-600 a month between coffee, lunch and dinners. So it's kind of not being, you know, overly zealous saying just cut out the coffee. It's looking at all of the expenditure. So if you're buying a cup of coffee, because what I would say to clients as well, when like we're looking at our budgets and things like that, and looking at, you know, when they have goals and they're finding where can they pull money back to put towards that goal, sometimes that cup of coffee a day is the kind of saving grace for someone. You know, it's that getting out of the office, you know, going for a cup of coffee with someone, it's a social thing. Whereas if it's the overspending, so it's looking at the bigger picture to say, right, where is all your money going first, rather than kind of saying just cut out the €4 Americano and then you'll be able to buy your house.
Okay, so I think the first thing then that people need to do if they do want to try to save, and if they feel they've absolutely zero capacity, or they have some capacity but they just can't figure out where it is to get grips with what's coming into the account and what's going out of the account.
Exactly. And especially like for younger people kind of coming out of college, going into the workforce, like if you imagine, you know, kind of when you're in college, you know, some people depending on the course as well, you may have the capacity to work part time. You know, some courses are probably a lot more full on that, you know, maybe you don't. Maybe it really is only the summers and Christmases that you're able to work. Whereas when it comes to, you know, working part time, then you come out of college and all of a sudden now, you know, you've the capacity to work 5 days a week. You know, ideally it's in your chosen field, which like that is a bump in wages because you're now working full time. So you've been given like this massive pay increase compared to what you've normally been used to living on. And that's where it starts. It's from that point where you go, right, this is my cost of living. You know, I like to do this. I like to spend my money this way. These are my financial commitments. And then you have to, from the very beginning, initiate a savings goal. There has to be, you know, whether it's 5%, 10%, 20%, it has to be something. Because if you start that habit early on when you were young, you'll just keep that. You know, it's a lot harder when, you know, you're 10, 15 years out of college. You know, at this stage, you know, you might be in a house, you know, or you might be looking at buying a house. You might have kids to start saying, you know, what will I take away from my life to be able to afford this new goal? Whereas if you start, I suppose, essentially where you kind of have the freedom to be able to save, you know, that's like that's invaluable.
Even if it's a really small amount.
Something is better than nothing, because like if you look at it, and I see it all the time with clients, and I'm saying, look, I can see you the capacity to save, you know, 200 quid a month, and they're like, I'll go, you know, I'll save 300. And I'm looking at the numbers and I'm saying, let's start with 200, you know, or let's start with 100. Let's build it up, because if you go all in, sometimes you kind of get disheartened because you've realize very quickly that you mightn't have the capacity to do it. So start building on something and make yourself a promise that, right, you know, whether it's every 6 months, if you start off with 100, in 6 months time, it's going to go to 150, and you build on that over time. Because if you go too heavy at the start, you know, it mightn't work out. And then all of a sudden you kind of have this hate relationship with your savings that you, you know, you don't look at it in the positive light that, you know, it's towards something important. You look at it in the sense that it's taken away from today. So it's not going too heavy on it.
When it comes to savings, do you think it's really important to have a goal in mind, like a certain amount in mind or saving for a certain thing? Is that a motivator?
I think you have to have, there has to be a picture attached to it. So whether it is like buying a car, so look at the type of cars that you want, you know, look at the typical cost price that it is. And like that, work out, right, you know, am I going to be able to buy this car in 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, maybe it's 5 years, depending on the price of the car. But it has to be attached to something, because that keeps the motivation there. Like, you have, I suppose, savings habits and savings pots that are like your emergency fund, where that is for something that you haven't a clue what it's going to be, but it's going to protect you there. You know, it's for the unexpected. And that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing, you know, because it, I suppose your emergency fund isn't always for the bad things that crop up. It's for the things that, you know, all of a sudden a friend is getting married abroad and, you know, this is the cost of it and it's in 12 months time. And, you know, you can dip into your emergency fund to help you out with that. But generally for bigger goals, you know, having timelines, having an idea, because there's no point, I suppose, sitting down and saying, right, I'm going to save 10 grand to buy a car. And then you find out the car is 15 grand. You know, you have to do a little bit of research first to know what, I suppose, what you're saving. Same exact thing with house prices. You know, people used to say, right, if you can save up 10%, that's probably 20 grand. It's not, you know, if the house is 300,000, it's 30,000 is your 10%. And then you're going to need another 5 for your solicitor's fees, you know, and everything that comes with it. So it's kind of knowing generally what the kind of potential overall cost is and kind of working back from that.
I have a texter in here. A coffee a day could easily be the difference between being the winning bidder or the underbidder on a house by 3 or 5K. And somebody else texting in, nobody is fool enough to think one coffee a day will add up to a deposit. It's the multiple coffees, takeaways, nails, hairs, tans, etc., etc., etc. They're all the little joys, I think, in life. But sometimes you just have to make, I think, those really tough decisions and know that it hopefully it's just for a short period of time.
You do, and that is the main thing. Like a coffee a day, you know, €4 a day, you know, that's say the bones of about €1,500 a year. Yes, sometimes like when you're looking at it like that, €1,500 could be that bit, but I suppose you don't know that either. So you know, that I do see it on that sense. And then the other side of, you know, will it make or break? And sometimes, you know, we have to take joy where we can as well. You know, you can't take it all with you. But it's all the kind of things, I suppose, that we do, you know, like the nails, like the hair, you know, the golf, everything like that. Sometimes that has to be paused for a moment in time while you're working on something, because it does cost a lot to do all of these fun things. And I do get that it is a sacrifice, but you're working towards something that you really do value. So that's what it is. It's about something that you value, something that's important to you. And if you have to put pause on things that maybe don't, you know, fall as high on the ladder in terms of value, then that is what, unfortunately, what we have to do now, because it's really expensive to buy a house at the moment.
Yeah, it is. And I just wonder sometimes, is there a risk that older generations or those of us in homes underestimate that challenge that younger people face today?
I think, and this does crop up time and time again in terms of, you know, I suppose people from previous generations, you know, kind of saying that, you know, we all should have houses nowadays, you know, and we should be able to save and buy a house. Yes, the houses are way more expensive. People are on more money as well. That's the other side too. The salaries are higher than they were as well. But there isn't a doubt that house prices are, you know, as high as probably they've ever been, in the sense of, you know, in the last kind of couple of generations. So I suppose it's kind of a little bit of empathy as well to say, you know, it's not very easy. Like when we're looking at the average asking price being 445,000, say in January, like that's, you know, 100K plus salary. You know, if you're doing that by yourself, that's particularly hard. You know, you may be in a couple where the two of you might be on 60 grand. It might be a little bit easier and you've two people to save. But, you know, it's very hard for people individually trying to buy at the moment.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. But Liam McMahon, Senior Financial Planner with Castle Capital, thank you for bringing us that advice. Another text.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.